Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking the Donegal GAA Dynamo range at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be looking forward to the LGFA Congress, which is taking place in Letterkenny this weekend. We'll be speaking with Central Council Delegate Donal Sharkey. On the Schools Colleges front, we'll be hearing from Pubble's Skull Guidor manager, Pádraic McGinley, on their third national SFAA title in a row this week. Breed McGinty will join us to reflect on the Regan Cup final for ATU Donegal. And we'll be hearing from Donegal under 16 manager Darren Toland as they look forward to an All-Ireland final in Limerick this coming Saturday. That is all on the way, but we are going to start with football and League of Ireland action this weekend. Finharps are on the road as they head to UCD tomorrow evening in Dublin, while among the Premier Division games, Derry City are at home to Galway United, and Sligo Rovers are on their travels as they go to Turner's Cross to play Cork City. To look forward to those games and more, I'm delighted to say, joining me in studio is our regular contributor, former Finharps captain Declan Boyle. Declan, it's good to have you in.
Good to be here, Oisin.
Listen, it's already been a hectic start to the campaign for both Finharps and Derry. So we might actually start with Derry because a lot of change, obviously, since last year. They were seen as title contenders, and already in the Premier Division decade, Derry City very much on the back foot. Just one win out of four games, defeat to St Pat's earlier this week. It's not the start of the season I'm sure that the Derry supporters or those involved in the club were hoping for.
No, I would think so. You know, obviously, Tiernan comes in and, you know, brings a lot of new players, new management as well, obviously. So that brings that expectation that things are going to be really good, and a lot of players signed, a lot of experienced players and ex-international signed as well. So that was always, you know, you weren't sure how that was going to go. Listen, as early days yet in regards to they only played four matches or so. So it was very, very early. But as it was going by current form, it hasn't been a great start by them. And the performances have been mixed. I know they played reasonably well against St Pat's, and a couple of decisions once against them with two penalty kicks and also getting a man sent off. So that didn't help, you know. And they're playing Galway this weekend, which will be a difficult match at home. But they're hoping that maybe they can turn their form around and get a result and maybe kickstart the season. You know, they're ready, obviously, beat Bowes 1-0 at home. So hopefully now they might turn that away form that hasn't been good, and their home form to turn that around and be better. So, yeah, listen, I suppose the problem you have, I think, with so many players coming in that don't know the league, and the coaching staff that don't know all the teams they're playing against, and it takes a wee bit of time to bed them all in to get that continuity. But you're hopeful that with the quality of players they do have at their disposal, that they'll come good.
Galway are providing the opposition for them at the weekend, and no doubt Ollie Horgan, of course, who's been very much doing the interviews this week, obviously due to John Coffey just maybe stepping away for a couple of matches following a bereavement, but there's no doubt that they'll be well set up, so they will go away on Friday night and they'll be hard to break down.
Definitely. That's the one thing that you're going to get against Galway. I think Galway as well last year, I think that they definitely got one victory up in the Brandywell Ryan McBride Stadium. So, yeah, listen, this Galway are so hard to play against in regards to, you know, stubborn. They make things very awkward, very, very good defensively, don't concede too many goals. Very good at set plays because they're quite a big physical team. Typical Caulfield and Ollie's kind of team. And they make things very, very difficult for you. And it'll be very stubborn performance you're going to get from Galway. You know exactly what you're going to get. You're going to get a very, very good organised performance. And they will probably score goals as well. So yeah. Derry are probably going to have to go and score two or three.
Can you see them scoring two or three?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's the problem that you're going to have a wee bit, you know. So, I mean, they do have the firepower. It's just at the minute, it's just not clicking. And listen, these kind of games, it might click into gear for them, you know. So you're hoping that somewhere along the line, it'll turn a wee bit for them. I know we made a few changes at the weekend as well. So they do have good quality, you know, up top. It just hasn't happened for them at the minute, but maybe this is the opportunity against Galway. It'll not be easy, but maybe this is an opportunity to get 3 points and kickstart their season.
It's a big night for them because they've got two away games against Sligo and against Shamrock Rovers. Sligo obviously won the first game of the season recently. Shamrock Rovers are in badly need of a win as well. So if you're going to both of those places in the weeks to come, you could say that the match on Friday for Derry is particularly a big one.
I think so. At this stage, you know, and you mentioned Shamrock Rovers, they're obviously in 1 point, so they've got a, you know, big, they're playing St Pat's the weekend, so that's going to be a difficult one for them. And they don't want to lose, obviously, to St Pat's or concede many more points to Shelburne, who could potentially go 10 points ahead if they won at the weekend, and Shamrock Rovers don't. But going back to the Derry question, yeah, listen, Derry's recent results against Sligo Rovers haven't been good. They've got results, obviously, up against Shamrock Rovers, previously mostly draws. But so it'll not be easy for them, those two away matches. And any games in the League of Ireland, the away matches are very, very difficult. So it's so important, I would say even imperative, that they actually get 3 points against Galway.
Yeah. The other matches, as you said, Shamrock Rovers against St Patrick's Athletic. I know it's early doors of the season. Both of these two were seen as title contenders. So they'll be looking to make a statement. I think more so Rovers since they haven't won this year.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I had the game, Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers on Monday night. And Shamrock Rovers played reasonably well. They had a lot of possession. They just lacked that wee bit of cutting edge up top. Graham Burke came on and scored, and he gave them a wee bit of energy, you know. So they do have players on the bench that can change the game. Sligo Rovers scored from two set plays. Now, it wasn't a classic game, far from, but the pitch wasn't great. It was a bit bumpy, but Shamrock Rovers did play reasonably well, kept good possession, but I just thought they lacked that wee bit of cutting edge. St Pat's under Stephen Kenny, they're completely different. They're scoring free. I know they scored two, obviously, penalties against Derry City, but they're top end of the pitch, they've got some smashing players. And on top of that, they can go out to three top players and put in three more that are as good. So the quality is really, really good. So that's going to be a really interesting one. As I said earlier, Shamrock Rovers need to be really careful because if they lose that game, they could go potentially 10 points behind Shelburne with only a small amount of games played. And that's a big, big, you know, that's a lot of distance between them and Shelburne at this early stages.
Yep. As we mentioned, Sligo Rovers won the last night against Shamrock Rovers. They go to Cork City, another good result there. Would be going in the right direction for the bit of red because they were shaky, so they were in their opening three matches, Degan.
Yeah, they have. You know, they conceded 10 goals. You know, that's what they conceded, so they haven't been good. That was a big result just to get them up and running. There were no points, obviously, up until that, you know. So, it was a big match for Sligo against Shamrock Rovers. They got over the line. You know, it wasn't a vintage performance, as I said earlier there, but they got 3 points. They have a really difficult match now going to Cork City. Cork have started really well. And to teams that you're thinking they'll be down near the relegation zone, the Drogheda's, you know, the Galway's, the Waterford's, they've started really well. And the other teams you're expecting that potentially could be down near the relegations area, but they've all started really well. So that's, you know, that brings extra pressure for Cork and for Sligo Rovers as well. So listen, it's very, very early, you know, but after 7 or 8 matches, you get an idea where clubs are and the movement don't change too much. If you're up near the top, you'll probably stay up near the top. If you're down near the bottom after that 8 or 9 matches, that's where they normally end up. So, it's a big match, obviously, for Sligo Rovers going the whole way to Cork, and the recent match they played against Cork down in Turner's Cross hasn't been good results wise. So it's a big, big match for both clubs, and also Cork have been firing. You know, they've got players up at the top end of the pitch can score goals. And
yeah, Sligo have two big games after Derry City, and also taking on Shelburne, but both of those games are at home. Can Drogheda United stay up on the top half of the table, Decky? They've got a big game against the champion Shelburne, and probably on form this weekend. It's probably the game of Friday night. Both teams have won 2 and drawn 2, set a point off Waterford. Yeah. But back to what I said first of all, can Drogheda get a result there at Tolka Park and be seen as a top 4 team?
Yeah, they've obviously played early in the season in the President Cup, you know, so Shelburne came on top that thing. I think they were quite strong as well and good performance. Yeah, I mean, you're looking at Waterford 9 points and Drogheda 8, you know, so Shelburne just below them and together with Drogheda 8 points. So I'm expecting Shelburne with the quality they have at their disposal. that they'll beat Drogheda. It'll be tough. Drogheda are really, really tough to play against. They've went professional this year. This is the first time they've went professionally. Kevin Doherty's done an excellent job. Really, really good job. Won in the cup, obviously. They're in Europe this year, which is added bonus. They've brought in better quality players. They've gone full-time as well to match everybody else in the league. So they can sustain it. Will they or not? I'm not 100% sure. They have enough quality. Going to Drogheda has been a difficult place for most clubs. I know Sligo went up there recently and didn't get a result and were well beaten on the night. But can Drogheda stay in that position? I think that they won't. I think it's just too much for them, but they definitely can cause problems, and they'll probably end up, if they keep going the way they're going, obviously they end up middle of the table.
Yeah, well, they're a lot better position at the start of this year than what they were at the start of last year. One other fixture, Waterford against Bohemians. Are Waterford a team that can stay in the top three, Deggie?
I don't think so.
They are, what is it, 3-1, one defeat, leading the way?
I tipped Bose. I thought Bose would have a good season. They haven't started so well. So who's to know? Waterford, yeah, listen, it, obviously the first match of the season, I watched them up in the Showgrounds against Sligo Rovers. Now Sligo missed a penalty and probably should have got something out of the game if not won it. Then Waterford, then you're thinking good first half performance. What I have seen of them, Lonigan up top, Patrick Almond, Noonan is the young lad. He's been excellent. He's on loan from Shamrock Rovers. Really, really good. Great mobility, stretch the play, you know, on the counter attack, really good. Almond leading the line as well. And he's obviously in twilight years, but he's been excellent. Scored the weekend as well. So he's been, you know, three of them have been excellent. They defended well in numbers. And they went, obviously, I didn't expect them to go up to the Ryan McBride Stadium, Brannywell, and get a result, get 3 points. They did there as well. So they've been really well. 3-1s, one loss, you know. So they've been excellent. Really good start for them. You know, so you're expecting them to at least get something out of the game against Bose.
Okay, let's go to the First Division. UCD are hosting Finn Harps on Friday night at the Belfade Bowl in Dublin. We will, of course, have live updates from this game. We're going to send Chris Ashmore to the capital at the weekend. Kickoff is at 7:45, and we'll keep you abreast of the action here on Highland from that one, in association with BNS Credit Union Main Street in Ballybuffet. But going into the game, Harps are the only side in the First Division, Declan, without a point on the board. 3 games played, 3 defeats. Is there early pressure already on this young Harps side?
I suppose, listen, the expectation probably wasn't too high at the start of the season, considering it was a young team, young experienced team. You know, they do have a couple of lads with experience, obviously, down the spine. And the squad isn't the biggest. So, listen, I know I'd also throw on the play Kerry away. They played 3D away. The performance against Dundalk at home, I thought, in Finn Park was really good. Very positive performance. Unlucky they didn't get something out of that game. Going to UCD, obviously, we haven't played well there. We know how good UCD are. Ollie O'Connor is the manager, and he's done a good job up there. They have real quality players. You know, Ronan Finn's up there, obviously, and they've Mikey McCulloch and Enoch Clancy as well as up there from Leitrim. They've got really good players that can hurt you. They've only played 2 games, you know, so they're... So far, they have obviously 1 game against Bray wasn't on, so usually it's going to be a difficult match for Finn Harps to go up there and get something out of the game. Can they go up there and get a draw? Potentially. Scoring goals has been a big problem for us. So that will probably be our Achilles heel throughout the whole season. But what you're going to get of young players is you're going to get games where we're very good and then games where we're not so good, and that's where the experience come into it. But difficult start for Finn Harps, you know, and we need to our next home game to get off to a one. But it's been a difficult start in regards to away to Kerry first match, you know, Dundalk 3D and away to UCD. And so your first 4 matches, you've 3 away.
Yeah, and they played well in that home game against Dundalk, and after this weekend, there's home matches to come against Cove and Bray. So even if they can get something out of the match on Friday night, it will be a nice wee springboard going into back-to-back home fixture.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a draw up against UCD and a good performance, that brings that energy back into Finn Park for the following 2 matches. Bray obviously got a result there last year, that one of the last games of the season. Cove, we know how strong they will be. They won't be easy games, but you know, the commitment was shown and they worked really well, and the attitude was so good against Dundalk. If they can repeat those kind of performances, I can see them getting 3, you know, one or more games at home than they did last season, and that's the key. And it really is about performing well in front of your home supporters and making that a fortress, and that's always the hard part. But not a great start for Harps. The fixtures haven't been kind to them, but hopefully they can kickstart it again with a good result up in UCD, and then obviously UCD, two big home games coming up after that.
The other First Division fixtures, Cove Ramblers against Longford Town, Wexford are playing Athlone Town, Kerry meet Bray Wanderers, and two of the top three are meeting as well this weekend. The leaders, Dundalk, are up against Treaty United, who joined second on the table with Wexford, 3 points off Dundalk, and that probably is the game of Friday night in the First Division. Just staying on League of Ireland matters, Declan, and I see this week that Buncrana Hearts have expressed an interest to join the new League of Ireland third tier. So from this region, that would be Letterkenny Rovers, Bunnigan United, Cockhill Celtic, and now Buncrana Hearts, who have all sort of expressed an interest. It's understood there's about 67 clubs who have sent in applications for the new tier. It's going to be split north and south. There is going to be promotion into the First Division, which means there's going to be relegation as well. It seems to be from the first down into the third tier. What's your take on this? Is this the right direction to go for the League of Ireland and maybe for standards of football to increase in certain areas?
Yeah, listen, I suppose it's hard to know at the minute, like exactly how it's going to pan out. You know, what's the rules and, you know, how's it going to be licensed and all that. But I'm assuming it's probably similar to the First Division, the way it'll be licensed. You know, you've got to put in an application. It'll come down to being audited in regards to, you know, the facilities you have available. It'll be marked off that, I would think, you know, budgets will have to be approved, and there's going to be a lot of stuff like that that I wouldn't be, you know, on the governance side, I wouldn't know too much about it regarding regulation. You're looking, it's great to see the four clubs from Donegal are interested in getting involved. That tells you that, you know, that they're ambitious, and they want to get involved. Will that happen? Will the four clubs? I doubt it to be four clubs. I would think in my own opinion that maybe two clubs might get in. So it'll be two out of four, and that'll be obviously down to facilities, and what's available, obviously, and the clubs. And then obviously the governance side of things need to be looked at as well. Financially, it's a big onus on clubs, and I agree with the north and the south. Because just the travelling aspect of it, you know, and it's my fear would be that it's great the first couple of years when everybody loves it and it's new and it's, you know, it's bright and it's shiny and it looks the part. But, you know, after 5 or 6 years when you're paying out maybe a lot more money than you previously did, you know, can that be sustained long term? That's my own fear. It's probably good that the fact that there's an opportunity for teams to go up into the First Division, that are ambitious, that they can go and do that. So they get an opportunity to play that smaller tier, the third tier, but with a view moving up. I think that puts extra pressure on the First Division clubs because they don't want to be relegated down to that tier. So that'll be an interesting one, you know, and how that'll work out. So it's probably good because it's promoting the game around the country. You know, 10 years ago, we never thought that Kerry would be involved in the League of Ireland, and Kerry's involved, and they have seemingly good financial muscle as well behind them this year, accordingly. So, you know, it's good to see the game being brought around to different parts of the country, as I said. But also, what you do is the game and the numbers has increased. You look at all the Premier Division matches, the numbers, the attendances, or records are up. You know, there's 4,000 on a Monday night, Sligo Rovers against Shamrock Rovers. Like, that's, you know, for a Monday night. Like, so everywhere you go, so the crowds are up in the Premier League, and that's what you want. And can we get more people involved? It also means, for me, on the academy side, you're going to have more players playing League of Ireland at a younger age. You know, we have Noonan there playing for Shamrock Rovers on Monday night. Excellent. You know, you have other Noonan that's playing for Waterford as well. Brilliant. You know, so there's players coming through now playing 16 and 17 years of age, getting an opportunity to play against in the professional league with a view of going across the water when they're 18 years of age. And, you know, we looked at St. Pat's player, Mason Mealy, is going across to England, and it's over €1 million. Yeah. You know, so that's all good because that means that money's been reinvested back into the League of Ireland, and it was all positive. So I know it's very easy sometimes to look at things on a negative, but I think it's a positive move for the League of Ireland clubs and for the FAI.
Okay. Just finally, one other positive note. Obviously, you're the CEO of the Donegal Sports Partnership, Declan, and this week it was firmed up that the partnership has been awarded over €430,000, which is hugely important.
Absolutely, yeah, it is. Delighted, obviously, to get that funding from Sport Ireland. It's an opportunity, obviously, to, you know, develop sport participation in the county. Majority of that funding does go towards core salaries and keeping the staff. We have 11 staff in Donegal Sports Partnership, so, you know, that keeps people in jobs, but also programs funding on top of that. But, you know, we also have other program fund that we apply throughout the whole year. Dormant accounts is another big fund that we get from Sport Ireland. So delighted to have that funding. It keeps the show on the road and it keeps people in jobs. But more importantly, it is about increasing participation in Donegal, and that's our core aim.
Listen, Declan, many thanks for joining us this evening on The Score. Thanks for dropping in. And enjoy the football at the weekend and continued success with your role in the sports partnership.
Thanks to me, Oisin.
Okay, time for a commercial break here on The Score programme. Tonight we'll be back with more after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Now stocking the Donegal GAA Dynamo range at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Welcome back to The Score programme tonight, and we're going to colleges action, where there was victory today for ATU Donegal in the O'Regan Cup final. ATU defeating Queen's University by 5-2. Kiva Hearn had a super day. She scored 4 of the 5. The other was scored by Kerry Lockery, and they end their season with silverware. And I'm delighted to say, joining me on the programme now is the ATU Liddy's manager, and that, of course, is Breed McGinty. Breed, a very good evening. Welcome to the programme, Breed.
Thanks, Oisin. Delighted to be here.
Yeah, oh, listen, what a day for you. Congratulations.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. The girls really played well. We have a good team in the college. We just didn't gel as well throughout the league campaign, but today everything that we tried worked, and we got off to the dream start within 2 seconds of the start. It was Kerry Lohue netting the first goal. So it was a great start to have. And then, obviously, Kiva had a powerful day with scoring 4 goals then throughout the game.
Yeah, and listen, you sort of owed Queen's University one, because I think in the opening group game you actually lost to them. So you got your revenge timely today, so you did, Breed.
Yeah, they beat us 1-0 in the opening league game. We beat them last year. I think it was 2-1 down there. And after the game, they said to us all, we owe this one. So today, I think we got our payback.
Yeah.
And to have the silverware at the end was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And listen, Kiva Hearn's been knocking on the goals for you this year, because every time that you were looking at results that the ATU women's side was playing, and Hearn was always there and able to score for you this season. So listen, a quality asset, as I'm sure there is quite a few others as well.
Yeah. Kiva, we went down, after Kerry scored, they got in a good spell and they went 2-1 ahead. And basically from kickoff, we equalised. Kiva was on the back of a Cody Walsh great ball through, and she got on the end of it. So then we extended the lead to 3-2 at half time. And we were all kind of cautious in the second half, because we knew that they would throw everything at us. But the girls absorbed their pressure, and we hit them on the break twice with Kiva's speed. Away she went. Like, it was great.
And I suppose for the group of girls as well, is there going to be many of them sticking around for the next couple of years? Is it a relatively young squad you have this season, is it, Breed?
I think there's 3 of them that is in 4th year, so they're moving on next year. Our goalkeeper, Kiva Brennan, had absolutely amazing semi-final, and today she pulled off a couple of good saves as well. So she's moving on. Brona Galler and Kiva Hearn is moving on. So there'll be 3 big losses next year, but we're hoping that we still bring in the quality players. Like, if you look now at we have the Donegal Women's League up running again, which a lot of players are back playing. Finn Harps, you have Derry City and you have Sion, so we're hoping that a lot of the players will stick around and stay in Donegal for their third year education, so
yeah.
Third level education, so hopefully that there is quality players about, so hopefully they come into the ATU.
Yeah, and obviously having a trophy at the end of the season will help to the attraction as well. But listen, enjoy the celebrations,
yeah.
Breed, because when it comes around, you have to celebrate it, and those girls are fully deserving now of their celebration after the success today. So congratulations to you and to the ATU women's side on that O'Regan Cup victory today.
Thanks, Oisin.
Now, just staying with schools football, and Pobble Scolgwydor won the FEA Junior Under-17 B-Boys National Cup title for a third year in a row yesterday. It finished 1-1 between themselves and College Pearcy off Glenmare in Cork. That was after normal time, and indeed after extra time, penalties were required. And it was the Gedor side that took victory 8-7 on spot kicks in the end to seal yet another All-Ireland soccer title. And I'm delighted to say that their manager, Páraic McGinley, now joins us on the programme. Hiya, Páraic.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And listen, many congratulations on another fantastic achievement. And it was another fantastic day for the group of boys.
It was. It was a tense day. That's definitely kind of the tightest final we've had. It was finished 1-1, extra time, and then penalty shootout, which is always kind of nerve-wracking at the best of times. But now we got through it in the end.
Yeah, and your keeper played his part?
Oh, definitely. And not only in the penalty shootout. There was in the first half, he pulled off a couple of massive saves, which kind of kept us in the game before we actually got our own goal. And no, he's definitely, it's kind of hard to overlook Paddy Larkin for kind of player of the match yesterday. He was unreal.
Yeah, put in a big shift. And I'm sure everybody put in a huge shift yesterday. I was thinking last night when I was looking at the result, how many players were on the squad yesterday that were part of the team which won that first a couple of years ago?
We were down, it was three lads all together. We had Brian McFadden, he was the captain and the scorer. We had Tago Boyle, and then Cahal McGee, although Cahal unfortunately wasn't able to play yesterday for us, but those lads would have been with us from the original panel.
Brilliant achievement of three All-Ireland titles at under 17 age bracket. And what's it been like, I suppose, in the school with players now filtering into the older age group, Páraic?
Well, the lads, they've kind of moved up to the A competition there for the last 2 years. In fairness to them, they've been competing, and they lost to St Unions in the Ulster final, I think it was, there a few weeks back. But no, I'm not sure what the plan is for next year, but no, they've actually been competing at kind of a higher level. Now, the only disadvantage I suppose we have is we wouldn't have the same pool of players as some of the bigger schools, but there's definitely the talents there if we can keep everybody fit and available.
Yeah, well, listen, it's in the history books. It's another All-Ireland title, and they're not to be sniffed at, so they're not, because they're hard ones, so they are, Páraic.
Oh, 100%. I'd say this was probably the hardest one. The panel we had this year probably wouldn't have been as strong as the two previous, but credit to the boys, you know, mentally they're a very strong group. Like, there's plenty of games this year where we were kind of under a bit of pressure, or we kind of conceded early, but they just kept fighting and they kept going, and they definitely crafted this title.
Yeah, they were. What about the younger age groups in the school? Because now they're going to be looking up to these guys that have all Ireland titles. So they have Páraic, and they'll be looking to carry on what this group has done over the last couple of years.
Well, hopefully. We have a 15s group that seem to be doing quite well. They're actually playing tomorrow in an Ulster semi-final against College Oriel. So there's plenty. The area, like the Gedor, is kind of, it's a good kind of soccer area. We, like, between the two clubs, Gedor Celtic and Gedor United, you know, they're producing a lot of good players. So, you know, I suppose a lot of credits is kind of needs to be sent their way. But no, hopefully we can kind of keep it going.
Okay. Listen, Páraic, many thanks for taking the call this evening on the Score program, and many congratulations to you and, of course, the group of players and everybody involved in soccer down there, because they've all played their part. It's another super achievement. So well done.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
So we're going to stay with underage soccer, and it's a big weekend for the Donegal under 16 league side, who are bidding for All-Ireland glory in Limerick. They face Cork in the SFAI Interleague final at the University of Limerick on Saturday morning at 11:30. Kilmacrenaman Darren Toland has been with the group now for a number of years and is their manager as they head on to this All-Ireland final, and he's here tonight with us in studio. Darren, you're welcome along. Good to see you.
Thank you, Yashin.
Darren, it's a huge game for this group of players, and I'm sure there's a great buzz in the camp ahead of an All-Ireland final at the minute.
It's absolutely amazing at the minute. The boys are buzzing at the minute. They've been training hard, working hard all year, and they've got their just rewards now when they're reached the All-Ireland final now on Saturday.
Yeah. Before we look at that game against Cork, tell us about how the campaign has gone for you, because you haven't been shy in banging in the goals this campaign.
We definitely have not. No, we've come up against Belfast, a very good Belfast side up in Belfast, and came away 5-1 winners that day. 2-0 against Dundalk and 2-1 against Galway. And I would say we probably have the top goal scorer in the league, and Dylan Doherty now, he's got probably 7 or 8 of those goals, you know.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would say he'll be one for the future to look at, you know.
Yeah, certainly. So he's from Killybegs.
Killybegs, yeah. Yeah, yeah. St. Catharines.
One to watch out for. But listen, overall these have been good, because defensively you haven't conceded too many, I think two in the whole competition.
Defensively we've been brilliant. Yeah. We've only conceded 2 goals, and over the last couple of years they've been outstanding, you know what I mean? There's 3 or 4 players in that as well, along with the midfield's been outstanding. That the squad, in all fairness, Oisin is probably one of the strongest squads been put together in a long time. And there's no weak links. I know most managers will understand what I'm saying, was when you go look at the bench, but when I look at my bench, I've trust every one of them as much as the starting 11.
Yep.
You know.
And this is a group that you've had since they were under 12 years of age?
12 years of age, I've been involved with this group. Yeah. And now, I suppose, at the end of the journey, which is at 16s, they're coming to the peak of their powers now, and they're ready to hopefully go the one step of the Holy Grail and take the interleagues, you know.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fantastic thing to be involved in for a young fellow that's 15 or 16 years of age. Cork is the opposition, and no doubt they will be pretty strong, because the teams really, when you get to the knockout stage of this, are real contenders to reach a final. And just like yous are in the decider now, but it's going to be a tough game.
It's going to be very tough. You know yourself, finals, once you get to a final, it's really a 50-50. It can go anyway. It can go to the decision of a penalty or a free kick, anything, an offside goal, it shouldn't be. But listen, we've trained hard now all this last few weeks since the semi-final, and I think we're ready, to be honest, Oisin, for the final. And suppose when you look at Cork, they've got the big names. You've got your Rockmounts and your big clubs down around Cork and Mallow, all them. They're all big clubs, but listen, we've got 12 clubs represented through our 18-man squad as well, so it's well spread out over the county, you know.
Yeah, and UL, Limerick, the college down there, is the venue for it. So you're going to get an overnight trip away.
Overnight,
so it'll be special for the group.
It will be. It's very good. Now, we're getting prep. You nearly need the overnight stay to give you the right motivation and the right rest instead of the travel the day after the final. And most of the players will be familiar with the surrounds from the Kennedy Cup 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So hopefully that can be a bit of an omen as well, you know.
As we said earlier, Darren, you're obviously part of this group for the last 4 years you've overseen. There's quite a few challenges there in soccer, not just in Donegal, but in the rest of the counties as well, because there's players that have moved on that are now playing National League, obviously with the likes of Finn Harp. So with that going on in the background, this is a huge achievement for a Donegal team to get to a final.
Oh, it definitely is. But I suppose over the years, players have come and gone, and they've went to the likes of Harps, Sligo Rovers, Derry City, which is all brilliant. It's a stepping stone in their careers, you know what I mean? As a player, you always want to play the highest you can, and suppose the National League as the pinnacle of their powers. But suppose we've lost players, I know, but
how many players would you have lost over that?
I would say we've probably lost between 11 and 12 who went to National League, and one of them actually is probably up with the Irish team at the minute.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A boy called Donegal Malone, you know.
Yeah.
But listen, every year when you lose, you have to rebuild. It's up to other men to step up. And every year it seems to be getting better and better, and the boys that are coming in are replacing the boys that left easily, if not better.
So there's a good cohort of quality footballers then in this county. Even if they do step away to national level and play National League with Harps and Derry and Sligo, there's still those really good footballers coming through, even if that happens.
The conveyor belt just keeps coming, Oisin. It's brilliant, you know what I mean? Like, even picking a squad every year, you know, you have your trials and that, and every year you have to pick a squad, it's 18 squad, you could pick 24, you know what I mean, easily. That competition's that tight, and I'm sure every manager is the same. It's very good now. That the talent in Donegal at the minute is excellent. It really, really is, you know what I mean? And that's down to the coaches at club level, and all the workforce, the parents as well, no more than my own squad, having to train on a Sunday morning in Ballyar, travelling from Glencolumbkill, Killybegs, Donegal Town, Gweedore, Caju, you know, goes around their own areas here, but everywhere, you know, it's a big commitment for parents too, and suppose I would give them a shout out. Thanks for that as well, you know.
Yeah. And they're getting their rewards as well now as they go to a final. So
they're getting their rewards as well. They've been there since the heel of the hunt, and now at the end, light at the end of the tunnel, now it's just rewards, you know what I mean, for all their hard work as well.
Darren, there's also a couple of men, your right-hand men, that keep you right too.
There is, surely, and that's Kieran Campbell and Eugene McHugh. The two men been there as well. They're great men, great coaches. They're just outstanding, you know. I'm very lucky to have them, and woman Donna Campbell there as well, looking after things in a logistics kind of end and stuff to get the paperwork in. She's very good as well, so I'll be lost without all of them as well. So it's just not all a one man band, you know.
One game to go, and listen, you said that the camp is preparing properly and there's a good buzz in there. Can you just win this finally, Darren?
I definitely think we can. You know, I wouldn't be going there thinking we couldn't win it, you know what I mean? The boys are confident. It's suppose you, the old saying, you're listening to the other teams, what are they doing and who's their best players? I'm sure they'll be doing the same about us, you know what I mean? Who's our best players? Because we've got 18 of a squad and every one of them's outstanding, you know. And I suppose we'll go with our own game plan and stick to what we know best and play the way, if we play the way we can play, out of no qualms, we'll be lifting the trophy on Saturday evening.
Well, listen, all we can do is wish you and the group the very best of luck this weekend and that Interleague Under 16 final down in Limerick against Cork.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
Now, the boys Under 16 team are not just the only side that are going to be in Limerick this weekend, because there's three other Donegal teams competing in SFAA finals. The Under 16 girls Shield Donegal are taking on North Tipperary. Any Shone are playing Clare in the trophy final of the Under 16 girls. And later in the evening at 5 o'clock, Donegal are playing Carlow in the Under 14 girls bowl final as well. So it's good to see four Donegal teams being involved in SFAI finals this weekend on a big weekend down at UL in Limerick. There is, of course, a full programme of games taking place in the Northwest at junior level in both Donegal and Inishowen Saturday and Sunday. But there's no doubt the standout game is, of course, that quarter-final of the FAI Junior Cup on Sunday. Fannage United are playing Fairview Rangers from Limerick. They're 9-time winners of the competition. It's another big day on Sunday for Fannage. And just to confirm that the kick-off time down in Trialloch is at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, and we will have updates from the game once we start our sports show at 2 o'clock on Sunday. And indeed, we'll be hearing from Arthur Lynch, the Fannage United manager, on Saturday Sport ahead of that game. Now, on to Gaelic games, and no doubt the big story in the Northwest today is the return of Carl Lacey to basically a role very similar to held previously with Donegal. Donegal GA today confirmed the appointment of Carl as County Performance Lead to the academy here in the county. Earlier in the week, he was announced as under 16 manager, and this is now followed on as he becomes an academy lead once again. Back in 2023, Carl, of course, left his position as head of academy, citing differences and lack of support with the then county board. He then went to Kilcoo, where he left after the Ulster Championship towards the end of last season. But it's been a big week for Carl and Donegal GAA, the under 16 manager, and today it was confirmed that he is now in a major role in the county as the performance lead to the Donegal GAA Academy, where he will deliver the national strategy to improve the quality, coherence and consistency of player and coach development within the county, and is set to operate within a national approach to align both the Gaelic Games player and coach pathways. Elsewhere, the LGFA Annual National Congress will take place at the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny this weekend. After hosting the GA Congress a fortnight ago, it's another big coup for the county to host the LGFA's version of the event. It starts on a Friday evening and runs through until a Saturday evening. We do, of course, have the outgoing LGFA President Micheál Nochtain here from the county, and he will be handing over the reins to the new incoming President Trina Molloy from Westmeath. Speaking to Mark Gallagher this week, LGFA Central Council Delegate and Cultural Officer in the county, Donal Sharkey, says it's an honour for Donegal to host the National Congress.
So, Donal, it's a big weekend ahead for Donegal LGFA hosting the Congress.
It is indeed, yeah. It's an honour, actually, to have the Congress in Donegal this year, because with our outgoing President, Micheál Nochtain, you know, it was great to get his last Congress in Donegal. So it's a big weekend coming up for our committees and our clubs.
Yeah. How long have you been working on this and trying to pull things together for the event? I'm sure there's an awful amount of organising involved.
Really, last year we were in Steinman and Clare for the Congress, and we thought it was going to go to Munster or to Connacht, I think it was, and we kind of got wind of it. It was coming to Donegal, and so I would say that's when we started, because that's when the messages started coming around that Congress is coming to Donegal 24, and we probably were doing bits and pieces and working like that from then on. And Joanne formed the committee, Joanne McKinney, our chair, formed the committee to organise, and we kind of took it from there.
Obviously, when you got the news that you were going to be hosting the Congress, it's fairly big news to get for the county, isn't it?
Well, it is indeed, because there's a lot of counties will put in applications to have Congress, you know, and most of the times I've been at Congress now, there's a good hard vote for it to get it. So to us to get it to come to our county, it was a bonus and a plus for us, you know.
Yeah, you touched on it a wee bit earlier. As we know, Michael Naughton is the outgoing president of the LGFA. How important was it from a Donegal point of view to have someone in that position, and how did it benefit the county?
Well, the benefits of the county, really, from Michael was his knowledge of Donegal, first of all. And he would always have Donegal at his heart. That's why I always said it would be Michael Naughton, you know. Michael would always think of Donegal. What can we do for Donegal? So having him in there meant that we probably had dial a button and we got Michael for anything we needed. And it worked out good for us, you know, that we were always on top of our business because we had Michael at the top table.
And the incoming president, Trina Murray of Westmeath, she's coming into the role. Do you think she'll be looking to take things in a different direction, or just continue the good work that Michael was doing?
I think Trina will follow what Michael was doing, because Michael was very much into the integration and participation and whatnot. And put my knowledge of Trina Murray for this last few years, she'll be very much into the same style. But in saying that, you know, a new president, you know, maybe take a new path, but I can't see much change coming in. I think they'll follow what they're doing because it's working at the minute.
Yeah, and that integration, it's hoped that integration of all the organisations within the GA, it'll happen by 2027, they're saying. Heading into this weekend's Congress, do you think that's a realistic timeline for that to come to fruition?
Well, I would be myself, I'm kind of a glass half full on that, but I know the work has been done and the talking has been done and whatnot, and they're ironing out all the where they see problems and where they see problems maybe down the line and whatnot. But 2027, it could happen. Yeah, that's the way I look at it. But it's going to be a long, hard process. But we're going the right way, as far as I can see. We are going the right way, because I firmly believed myself from even before we started talking about integration that clubs in Donegal, actually, most of them now would be looking into a one-club model, working for the family and for the parish, for their area and whatnot. So it is the future together, because separate, we're just not working right separate, as far as I can see. It's just not bonded together, and I think this integration will bring us together, you know.
Turning the attention to this weekend, in terms of decisions, unlike the GAA Congress a few weeks ago, there's nothing really rules-related that's up for discussion. What are the main motions that'll be debated this weekend?
Well, for me this weekend, a lot of the stuff they're doing would be to do with safeguarding and whatnot. They're trying to, because that is a joint-up approach from the GAA and from the LGFA and Camogie and all that, they're trying to just sort out the wording for rule and whatnot. And a lot of people will be thinking, well, what are they changing? What are they changing? They're actually changing nothing. They're really just changing the wording to make it all run on one line together from all the associations. But there would be a couple of rule changes coming in there and whatnot. Now, we have a motion in from Donegal ourselves to introduce, as an executive member, an assistant register. And the simple reason behind our motion is that in Donegal, ladies' registrations are going up and going up and going up. We'd actually be the top in Ulster, maybe sixth in Ireland. And it's maybe the most important part is registration, to have everything safe and secure for players that they can play the game without having any fallback of injuries and whatnot. So I'd expect that to get a good hearing, but I think it'll pass, tell you the truth.
Yeah, and there are some big names that will be in attendance. GAA President Jarlett Burns, TD Charlie McConlogue, who's of course the Minister for Sport and Postal Policy, Brian Malloy, President of the Camogie Association. Yeah. They'll all be making addresses on Friday evening at the opening event, will they?
They will, yeah. And you know, when you think of it there, we have the Ulster men coming to us, as I would always say. We have Jarlett Burns in charge of the GAA. Jarlett was in Clare last year. It was actually his first address to a body outside the GAA, was the Ladies Congress last year in Clare, and it was really thought-provoking when he came across. He'll probably do the same. But the big plus, you know, really is now we have the Minister for Sport in Donegal, and he's at our function, you know, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of ones asking questions of him and whatnot, and it's a very good thing to have at the top there, as well as the Camogie, because everybody says Camogie. Camogie is probably the weaker of our sports, and we need to be seen to be promoting it. So it's great to see Barry Malloy coming there.
Well, the GAA Congress went down very well in Donegal Town a couple of weeks ago, by all accounts. So hopefully, you have similar success this weekend, and hopefully, everything goes smoothly.
I think it will. The LGFA Congress wouldn't have as much punch, I would say, as the GAA. But in saying that, we'd actually do pretty much the same kind of work, but in a smaller scale, but we're getting the work done, and it's a good thing. And there, another thing about all these delegates coming to Donegal, we're trying, as a committee that we've set up for Congress, we're trying to highlight the pluses for Donegal, our tourism, or what have you. And you know, we see it as a plus for the whole county, for everybody, so it'll be a great weekend, I think.
Well, Donal Sharkey, Central Council Delegate and Culture Officer of the LGFA, thank you very much for joining us on The Score here this evening, right?
Okay, Mark, thanks very much, thank you.
Donal Sharkey in conversation with Mark Gallagher, looking ahead to the LGFA Congress this weekend in Donegal. Just some fixtures of note on the Gaelic Games front. The Ulster Minor Football League, it's up and running on Saturday. Donegal start their campaign in Letterkenny against Cavan. There's a 2 o'clock start there. Among the other games, Derry are playing Antrim at Owen Beg on Saturday as well. On Sunday, Ulster Hurling Under 20 Shield Final is being played in Gervahi at the Tyrone Centre of Excellence. Tyrone have home advantage against Donegal, and there's a 12 noon start to that on Sunday. While in the Ulster Football Leagues at senior level, Gweedore are playing All Saints of Antrim in a semi-final. That's down in Gweedore at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And Buncrana are involved in an intermediate semi-final. They are playing host to Kitty of Armagh, also 12 on Sunday. The other semi-final on intermediate level sees Eglish of Tyrone having home advantage against to Hamlet of Monaghan, while Tyrone side Strabán are playing in the semi-final of the Junior Club League. They also have home advantage in their game against St Paul's. In athletics, the European Indoor Championships are being held in Alphen in the Netherlands. Van Valley's Mark English is running tomorrow morning in the heats of the 800 metres. If Mark makes it through, there's a semi-final on Saturday, and if it's a good weekend and he's hoping to get a medal, he could run in the final at 5:30 our time on Sunday evening. But he has to get through the heats, which is happening tomorrow morning. Mark, of course, is a four-time European medalist. Two of those medals have come at indoor level. And it's a big weekend for Arlene Crossan as well of Finn Valley. She's part of the 4x400 metre women's relay squad. Now, she made the squad off the back of her performance at the national indoors, but she may not run this weekend, but it's her first time being involved in a major championship, and she's there out with the Irish team and learning all the time. Some other athletic events this weekend. National Indoor Masters Championships are on Athlone on Saturday. The All-Ireland Schools Cross Country are also on in Galway on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's National Under 20 and Under 23 Indoor Championships in Athlone. Lots of Donegal competitors competing and hoping for medals this weekend. Finally, in boxing, the National Championship for boys and girls under 15 and 16 are getting underway at Friday evening at 6 o'clock in the National Stadium in Dublin. Three fighters in quarterfinals tomorrow: Jack Anderson of Twin Towns, Colm Kellen of Carndonagh, and Eddie McBride of Dunfanaghy. And then on Saturday, there's three sessions of quarters down for decision. Eight Donegal boxers taken to the canvas: Taylor Park Raffoe, Twin Towns Trio, Eunan Freel, Brian Anderson, and Keevan Connolly. Kerry Brown of Convoy, Cormac Callaghan of Ilias Golden Gloves, Jack Boyle of Dunfanaghy, and David Tennyson from Derry Bay. And that is it for the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will of course be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. What's left of your Thursday, have a very good evening. Chris Ashmore is our next sport here in Highland. Tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.